This morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from the 13th and 14th verses of Philippians chapter 3. You turn with me. I'm believing God to touch and minister to us this morning. Amen. I want everybody to look at the pastor and smile. Some of y'all look like you lost your best friend or something. I don't know what's going on, but it's hard to preach. People look like some of y'all. My Lord. Now I understand why that kid got up and he's looking at the American flag and he said, "Mom, what's them stripes for?" She said, "Well, the red stripes is for the blood of those that died in service." He said, "Was that the morning service or the night service?" So, you know, I understand that now. Amen. Some of y'all look like you're about to die. Get excited. Day after tomorrow, September, football starts. It's already got started. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us this morning and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For we believe and trust in you for everything we're going to receive. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, grab your neighbor's hand, shake your hand real hard and say, "Hey, good looking." Oh, amen. Some of you didn't even smile at that. Some others laughed. I don't know what that's all about. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning on a subject I'd simply entitled The Ministry of Forgettery. I want to let that sink in. Some of y'all punched your neighbor. The Ministry of Forgettery. Amen. Now, if I were to look this particular scripture up in the contemporary English translation, this is what it says. "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on the one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us." Amen. Now, church, what he's simply saying is, Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says, "Fellas, instead of saying I have not quite apprehended," he said, "I ain't got there yet." Amen. Now, church, you ever notice you get saved and, man, all of a sudden you got this problem. You keep thinking you're going to get a star by your name and graduate. Amen. You know, I'd hear them people say, "I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. I ain't got them desires I used to have." And I'd be on the back row going, "Man, I ain't made it there yet. Dang, glory." Hello? Come on. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Them people was lying through their teeth. They had them desires just like I did. They just didn't admit it. Because as long as you're in this flesh, you're going to fight the flesh and you're going to have to deal with the flesh. And until you step over the golden threshold and hear Christ say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," you ain't got there yet. Come on, church. Amen. Paul was a guy who wrote 2/3 of your New Testament. I mean, here's a guy that was an apostle of apostles, raised to be a preacher, probably been religious all of his life. And yet he said, "In all I've done, I still ain't got there yet. I still have not arrived." And church, let me tell you something. Ain't none of us made it either. We're all just as imperfect as everybody else. We just got grace on our side, and that's what makes us different. Come on, church. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. I'm going to amen myself. I don't hear nothing coming from back there. Amen. Glory. But you know, church, some of y'all still worried about the title of my message. I'll get to it in a minute. Y'all figure it out after a while. Amen. But now, church, the reality is some of us don't understand that because we hadn't got there means I can't put a star by my name. That means I got to work at living right. That means I got to work at my relationship with God. I got to work at everything I do to be a Christian because I'm not going to arrive till I get to heaven. And I got to keep working at it. Could you say amen? Praise God. That means if I've got a problem, I've got to deal with it. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. But now let me give you this thing. You see, one of the first things that we have that kills the blessings of God in the church in an individual is a lack of being able to forget the past and keep living in it. We got some folks can't have a move of God today because they keep living in what happened 20 years ago. "Well, I remember 20 years ago, we used to run the house." Well, bless God, if you run the house 20 years ago, what you sitting there looking at a wall for? Come on, church. God ain't changed, so if you're the one changed, then you can't blame him because you ain't getting blessed like you used to. But we got folks keep living in the past, wanting everything like it used to be. Can I tell you, water goes under the bridge, it ain't coming back. I mean, no matter how hard you try, you can't turn back time. Come on, church, smile at me. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Ain't one of y'all called me a teenager this morning. I remember when I used to get invited to do youth services. Now they want me to come do senior adult retreats. Amen. Why? Because I can't take back time no matter how hard I try. I mean, you know, there's somebody talking the other day about working at this concession stand. Had to wear a hairnet because they had to keep their hair in place. I said, I ain't got no problem with that. Glory. I mean, I don't have to worry about it. I ain't got hair to get in somebody's food. Glory. But there was a time when I had more hair than anybody in this building, probably most of you. Hello? When I got saved, there was a lot of folks in Buell Church of God didn't have hair as long as mine. Amen. And I wasn't holiness. That's what you call hippie. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, we have a lot of people that can't let go of the past. And because you can't let go of yesterday, you are never going to have a tomorrow. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? To endeavor to become a Christian and God wants us to be, we must come to the place where we're able to forget and move on with life. Come on, church. We got to quit living in yesterday because God's got a tomorrow that's awesome. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, church. Some of you need to understand that. Somebody said, well, preacher, we still ain't got by the title of your message. The title of my message, the ministry of forgettery. We got people all the time wanting to get in ministry. Say, we got so bad now, we just start calling everything a ministry. There are fivefold ministry mentioned in the Bible. That's all this ministry. If you're a teacher, a preacher, a prophet, apostle, or an evangelist, you're in ministry. If you broom and sweeping the floor, that is not a ministry. You sweeping the floor because it need to be swept, and you a common courtesy person decide to do it. Come on. Oh, I got some people mad because they, well, Brother Ken, I got a ministry. I do so and so. If it ain't one to fivefold, it ain't a real ministry. You're working for God. That's not always ministry. Sometimes you pick up papers because you passed it and it's on the floor and you were smart enough not to leave it there. I asked a lady one time, she'd help me in bus ministry. She come over, she said, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I said, well, this is outreach. It's a ministry. I want you to help me. She said, I got to pray about it. I said, that's all right. I'll find somebody else. If you got to pray about doing something needs to be done, you probably ain't going to do it anyway. Come on, church. Let's face it. We see something needs to be done. Let's just do it. We got some folks we're going to put in the painting ministry for long. But we keep wanting in ministry. But I've got a ministry right here you can do for yourself. Paul said, this one thing I do for myself. I'm not doing it because it's going to help my brother or my sister. I'm not doing it because it's going to make a better church. I'm going to do it because it's going to make a better me. Paul said, this one thing I'm going to do for myself. I'm going to forget about the past. Amen, church, that's a ministry everybody can get into, because let me tell you something, until you begin to minister to yourself by forgetting about yesterday, you are never going to move on in God. And can I tell you, the first thing we need to do is to get this ministry going. Could you say amen? Somebody said, well, preacher, what is forgettery? Well, it's in the Ken Stroop dictionary. It's right the opposite of memory. Hey, I told y'all I was an evangelist for 35 years. If I ain't got a word in the English language, I'd make one up. Glory. This may be in your dictionary in the next few years. How you think all them other words got there? Somebody started using them, they got in the dictionary. Oh, most of them Noah Webster made up. I mean, let's face it, there's some others in there, got in there because folks started using them and they put them in the dictionary. Forgettery may be in there one day. I'll give you the definition. It's the opposite of memory. Memory is the capacity to recall things of the past. And church, there are some good memories. Amen. We don't want to forget them. My God, them good memories where we had fun, everything went good. But there's some other memories we just soon not ever remember. I can go back when I was a kid. I love to remember the times when we'd get together and, you know, have Christmas. We didn't have nothing. Amen. I told some of them the other night, when we had a Christmas tree with popcorn around it, it wasn't because we thought it was pretty. It's because we didn't have nothing else to put around a Christmas tree. Hello? Some of y'all remember that. I remember the first time I got a Christmas present that wasn't clothes. It was a little gas truck that you could roll. You could actually pull it backwards and let it go and it roll on its own. I was amazed at that. Glory. I remember telling some of them, the only thing I had run on its own was them little, y'all remember, did y'all ever do this? My mama had spools of thread, and when the thread would run out, you'd take that wooden spool and you'd take a match, and you put one end of the matchstick on one side, pull a rubber band through it, put a match on the other end, twist it, set it on the floor, and it take off across the floor. We thought we was engineers inventing stuff like that. I mean, you know, we'd even get a knife and notch out the thing so it'd have any climb up stuff. Lord. I remember my cousin got a gun for Christmas. I didn't get no gun, so I got me a stick. worked it into a gun. I killed as many Germans as he did. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. Those are memories you don't want to get rid of. There's other times, like when I was sitting in a tack room waiting on my daddy to show up, looking at that stupid razor strap, I just do not remember some of them. Amen. You know, or some of the other things that I went through as a young man that really helped form me, but I don't really appreciate some of the things that happened while it was going on. I want to let them out of my mind. And so therefore, memory can be good and it can be bad. And those things that are bad is when you need to apply the ministry of forgettery. There are some things you don't need to remember. Amen. Come on, church. Somebody said, what are you talking about? The forgettery is the ability to let go of things you don't need to hang on to. Amen. You say, well, preacher, do you believe that's biblical? Yes, I do. Amen. See, let's say, point number one, the first thing I need to let go of, I must forget what others have done to me. I was talking to somebody the other day, we were talking about forgiveness. This guy looked up and he said, well, most people don't forgive. I said, most folks used to talk about burying a hatchet there right between somebody's eyes. Lord. Hello? Listen to what the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6. He said this, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know what he's trying to tell you? If you'll let go of what people have been doing to you, God will then let you let go of what you've been doing to God and other people. Glory. Matthew 18:21 said, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus saith, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Amen. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but that's a whole bunch. What he said was, if somebody does something to you, you got to let it go. Because if you don't, it just festers. Come on, church. Amen. Keep going. You know, right after that, in that 18th chapter, you're going to get a parable. Jesus tells a story of a man who owned the king a bunch of money. And he goes to the king, and the king's sitting up there, and he's late. He's got several notices. They're coming to turn off his power or whatever. And he gets down to the king and he said, oh, king, help me. I can't pay it. Have mercy on me. And the king just said, okay, we're going to let go of everything. You don't owe me a dime. Guy got up and up. He was so excited. He goes out on the street, runs into a dude, owes him money, and just about crucifies him. He says, you give me my money. Turns him over to be put in jail. And the king finds out about it, brings him back in, turned him over to the tormentors. He said, my Lord, I gave you a big debt, and you couldn't forgive that guy a small debt. And you know what Jesus was trying to say? That's exactly what's going to happen to us. If we hold on against our brother or our sister, it is not going to hurt them as much as it's going to hurt us. And if we can't let go of it, then how can we ever expect the Heavenly Father to forgive us? I don't know about y'all, but I may be walking around with a bigger bank account than you got, but God forgave me of a whole lot, and I got no right to hold against anybody what they've done to me in the past, because I got a God that said, I don't care what you did to me, I'm going to let it go. I'm putting it under the blood, and you're coming out with the grace of God, and I've got to give the same grace to those that have done things to me. Could you say amen? Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall the Heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone your brother his trespasses. Mark 11:25, and when he stand praying, forgive. And if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Luke 17, in verse 3 said, take heed for yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times a day turn against thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The act of forgiveness is necessary to receive from God when you pray. Somebody said, preacher, you believe that? I don't have to believe it. It's in Scripture. I got to live by it. Come on, church. You know, there's a difference in what I believe and what the Bible says I got to do. And you can holler about, I believe all you want to. But if it's in the Word of God, it's not an option. Hello? Come on, church. I need to hear an amen on that. Some of y'all look at me like, well, wait a minute, preacher. I can believe it or not believe it. That's true. You can have free will. But remember, who's the progenitor of free will? God. Only thing is, God's already told you what's going to happen to you when you go against his will. Amen. So you already got written on the table what's going to happen if you choose not to follow God. Listen to Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar, and then rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way first to reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know what he said? He said, if you go to the altar to pray, and you got a gift to give to God, and you got aught against somebody, there's a problem against y'all, then leave it at the altar and get on back down to that person and say, look, we got to make it right. I need to be blessed. You need to be blessed. It ain't going to work till we get it out of the way, and then get it all under the blood, and both of you come back to the altar, and there God's going to pour out his blessings in both of y'all. Come on, church. This is good preaching. Amen. Come on. Preacher, I don't listen. Let me tell you something. I got a lesson one time from my brother-in-law who wasn't even a Christian. He was Jew. We had a problem in the family. I went to his house on a Monday morning. I'd spent the night with him, and I got up and walked in his office, and he's in there sending flowers to somebody. I won't say who it is, but y'all figure it out sooner or later. It was a problem in our family, and he's sending flowers. This person going, I was wrong. I want you to forgive me. Let's be a family. I'm standing there drinking coffee. I look at him and says, what kind of idiot are you? You let her get away with this, she'll run over us the rest of our lives. Don't look at me like that. Some of y'all be the same way. It was defending territory now. It ain't about living right. And he looked at me and he said, I wasn't raised the way you are. You're a Christian, I'm a Jew. I said, what's that got to do with anything? He said, well, I expect God to bless me. But for that to happen, I got to be in right standing with him. It doesn't matter whether I'm right or I'm wrong. If there's a problem between me and somebody else, I got to make it right. And if I do what I got to do, then I'm going to get blessed. It's not a matter of what they do. I got to do what I got to do. I'm not responsible for them. And he said, although I know she probably was wrong, I also know that it doesn't matter. I need to be blessed this week, and I'm getting it out of the way so God can open up the windows of heaven and pour blessings into my life. And I'm sitting there thinking, my God, he knows more about living right than I do, and he ain't even trying to. Come on, church. Amen. But you know what, church? The reality is that's where it's at. And I know it's getting quiet, but that's where we are in the world today. We've got to get to that place where we understand what Paul was saying. How Paul was saying, I got to forgive those people that beat me to death over in Lystra. I got to forgive those people that threw me in jail. I got to forgive the Caesar that tied me to a man with chains and then threw me in a hole in the ground. I got to forgive all these people because they're sharpening a guillotine outside and they're fixing to cut my head off. And if I don't let it go, I might not make it to heaven. But I want to get there. And so therefore, I'm going to put it this way. I'm letting it go. And isn't it amazing? His next letter, he said, I've run the race and I've kept the faith, and now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not only me, but all those that make it in. If we can let it go, there is a peace that passes all understanding that will come in our heart and in our life. Point two, not only do we have to forgive those that have done things to us, but we got to forgive ourselves for what we have done in the past. Galatians chapter 1. Paul talking about his past, he told the church at Galatia, he said, you've heard in my conversations in time past in the Jewish religion how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. Now, those of you who don't understand that term, he simply said, I tried to kill everybody who was a Christian. That's what he did for a living. Paul said, I don't go to sleep at night without thinking about them babies crying because I just killed their mom and daddy because they were Christians. Didn't do anything wrong. They were just Christians. And I thought all Christians had to die because they were against my faith. He was on his way to kill some more Christians when he got saved on the road to Damascus. And after he got saved, my Lord, he became a target of his own people because they get to looking for him. They had to slip him out of town so he could live. Paul said, I had to forgive all those people that's done all those things to me. I had to forgive King Agrippa for finding me guilty when all I'd done was stood up for what was right. I had to let all that go. And church, every once in a while, you got to get to that place where you got to let it go. Could you say amen? Amen. The fact that I'm forgiven by grace of God is something that is so simple that we sometimes have a hard time accepting the fact that our sins are gone. Come on, church. See, God forgives us. It's so simple. Sometimes it's hard for us to forgive ourselves. Smile. See, we have people all the time in counseling, and all they need to do is just forgive themselves. It's easier to forgive somebody else, but you got to forgive yourself and come to grips with the ideology that, yes, what I was then, but there's a scripture that should set you free. All things have passed away. All things have now become new, and now I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not that person that used to do those things. I'm not that person that used to participate in that, and because of that, I can move on down the road. Amen. And I like the idea of being down the road far enough folks don't know who I was before I got right. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm talking with a young man one time, a drug addict, and I was talking to him, and he looked at me and said, if you had a clue where I was coming from. And I smiled, and I said, yeah, I understand. I walked off, one of the guys at the counseling place looked up and said, why do you think we got him down here? He said, what are you talking about? He said, he used to be right where you are, if not worse off. And he said, he got out. He found out how to get out. Maybe he could help you if you'd listen to him. Amen. Next time I seen him, he come, he said, man, I'd have never known. I said, that's right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you get out of this hole and you get rid of this place and you get to that place, you can let everything go you used to be. I got a God that'll give you a new life and a new being and a new tomorrow that'll set you free with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but that's the whole strive of life. But if we can't forgive ourselves, we keep living in the past. And we can't let go of our sins. Lester Summerall was preaching one time, and he said he was in a bed, and the devil come in the room with him. And let's face it, church, the devil comes in, talks to folks all the time. We just don't understand sometimes what it is because we get these voices in our head. If they're not godly stuff, it's probably not God. If it don't match up with the word, it is not God. Some of y'all need to decipher that. I've had people have dreams, and God wasn't nowhere around them dreams. I've had others had dreams, I know God was in it. Some of them just ate their own thing before they went to bed. Hello? I can eat pizza and just have a montage of stuff happen. Lord. Hello? But the truth of the matter is, he said he was there and said, the devil come in, told him, he said, Lester Summerall, I got a list of stuff you did wrong before you got saved. So you can't have this great worldwide ministry you got, because remember when you did this and this and this and this and this. And he said, he looked at him and he said, hey, that's all under the blood. Take it up with Jesus. He said, rolled over, went to sleep, and said, everything got quiet. Glory. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you that Christ became a propitiation for your sins. And because of that, that word just simply means a cover. And my sins are gone. Your sins are gone. If they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, they're as far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. And I don't know about you, but I get up every morning and say, God, if I've done anything wrong, put it under the blood. I want to live today without having to worry about what took place in my life yesterday or the day before. Could you say amen? Glory. But now notice this. Not only have I got to forgive myself, but I've also got to accept the fact of God's forgiveness in my life. I got to forgive myself, but I also got to accept the fact my sins are gone. Romans 3, listen to what he said. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in the blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 4, 6 said, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. What did it say? It said, hey, God one time forgave me of my sin, and he forgave people in the past, not because they did something. Church, you are not saved by your works. You can be in church all your life and still die and go to hell. You can teach a Sunday school class and die and go to hell. You can sing in the choir and die and go to hell. It is not about works, but we are saved by the grace of God that washed away our sins and took them away. And because of that, my sin is not imputed to me, because the blood of Calvary has washed it away and covered it. And without the blood and the covering of the blood, my sins are bold and ready to be seen by God. But under the blood, they're gone. Could you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Listen, in Corinthians, Paul said this in the 15th verse, for I delivered unto you first of all that which was also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. In Psalms 51, listen to what David said. He's praying the prayer. Y'all read Psalms 51. If you hadn't, you ought to read it. It's David repenting after he messed up and committed adultery and committed murder. And listen to what he said. He said this. He said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And the next verse said, and I will then teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall come to repentance. Church, when we repent and when we set our heart back to God and we accept that forgiveness, then we can reach those that are lost, and we can change the life of somebody that's on their way to hell. Psalms 103 said this. in the 11th verse. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Preacher, why is that important? Because if you start out east, you ain't never going to find a place to turn around. You're going to keep going east. You'll around this world 5,000 times and you'll never see a turnaround spot. You start west, you're going to be going west. I don't care how long you fly. You can circle this earth 5,000 times again. You're still just going to keep going west because there's no turnaround. But if you head north, you go across the North Pole. When you cross the North Pole, you headed south. So you see, if he'd sent them north to south, your sins would keep coming back. But what he said was, I put them on a line of embarkation that said they ain't turning around. There's no turnaround spot. There's no point of no return. They're gone. And then once they're under the blood, they ain't coming back. What I did in the past and what I put under the blood is gone. It's not coming back tomorrow. It's not coming back next week. It's not going to haunt me next week. It is gone. And because of that, I've got to come to that place. I can look at myself in a mirror and say, hey, I once was a sinner, but now I'm found. I once was wretched, but now I am a child of the living God. I once knew nothing about life, but now I have life, and I have it more abundantly through the forgiving grace of Almighty God. And because of that, I gotta let go of what used to be in me. Would you say amen? Hallelujah. Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah. What a great and wondrous thought. Once my sins are gone, they ain't coming back. They're not going to haunt me anymore. I've not got to contest them anymore. But what was, was. But what is now is the grace of God that makes me an overcomer. The ministry of forgettery. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. I thank you, Father. God, because you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we could ever ask or think. God, I believe in you, in your grace, in your power to forgive, to set us free, God. In Jesus' precious name, Holy Spirit of God, move on us. Lord, pour out your spirit, your anointing. God, if there's one here, one here who is condemned by sin in their heart, let them realize that the forgiving grace of God is sufficient this morning to set them free. Holy Spirit of God, I believe you today. Commend into your hand everyone in this congregation to search every heart, every life. And if there's one here that's not where they need to be with you, would you just touch their heart this morning to let them realize for theirself, they need to walk to this altar and say, God, I love you. I need you to touch me and forgive me. I need you not, God, to hold me responsible, but to let the blood of Calvary wash away my sin. Set me free of the bondage that binds me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, if there's one here who's holding an ought against a brother or sister, would you let them begin to put it under the blood? Pass it into the memories of yesterday that they don't pick back up. But oh God, let the peace that pass all understanding begin to settle in their heart. In Jesus' name.